tomorrow.
I'm Beverly.
I'm Allison.
Welcome back to Shaky Understanding. Today we are talking about Anthony and Cleopatra.
Or Antony and Cleopatra, if you want to be fancy pants. So tell us what happens in this play, Beverly.
We start out seeing Mark Antony in Egypt with Cleopatra, and we hear from some of his soldiers and servants that he's been kind of hanging out with her a lot. He's kind of been pushing all of his responsibilities to the side and hasn't been paying attention to his military conquests as much. And he's just kind of drinking and making out with Cleopatra. Then a messenger comes in and tells him that his wife, Fluvia, oh yeah, he's married, by the way, to someone in Rome, and his wife, Fluvia, has started wars with his brother. At first, they were just fighting, so his wife and his brother were at war, and then all of a sudden, they're like, hey, why don't we get together and defeat Caesar instead? All while Antony is partying in Egypt. And he finds out that she had started a war against Caesar, and so Caesar is rightfully a little bit angry, and now she's dead. So the messenger says, you should probably go talk to Caesar. He's asking for you. And Anthony's like, I don't really want to go. I kind of like hanging out with Cleopatra. And Enobarbus, who's his like right-hand military man guy, is like, yeah, we should stay here and party. This place is great. There's no way like you would ever leave Cleopatra. And he's like, I don't know. I think I need to go home. And he finally decides to go back to Rome. Cleopatra is not happy. Charmaine and Iris, her handmaidens, are like, oh, you should, like, play with him. And so she ends up being hot and cold with him. And he basically says, look, I really don't want to, but I gotta go back. And she's like, okay, I guess that's fine. Which is clearly not. So Anthony goes back and he talks to Caesar and Lepidus, who are the triumvirs, which basically means that Caesar... Octavius Caesar, not Julius. Julius is already dead at this point. Octavius Caesar, Lepidus, and Mark Antony rule the whole empire that is Rome, split into three. It's called a triumvir. Antony and Caesar are fighting, and they're like, how can we make this better? I know, you're a bachelor now, Antony. Why don't you marry my sister Octavia? Then we'll be in the same family, and she can bring us together. And Antony's like, that sounds like a great idea. Meanwhile, Pompey is their enemy. And he's starting an army to take over and try and fight Caesar, Lepidus, and Antony. So they're like, we really all need to be on the same page so we can defeat Pompey, because he's kind of getting a huge army. So there's a soothsayer hanging out, and he's like, hey, Caesar's probably going to be more successful than you than if you stay here. And Antony's like, that sounds terrible. I'm just going to go back to Egypt, probably, and go hang out with Cleopatra. And Enobarbus, who has come with Antony to Rome, is like talking to the other soldiers. He's like, oh man, in Egypt it was so cool. We had all this food, we had all this booze. Cleopatra was so beautiful. There's no way Antony's gonna like leave her forever. Even if he's married to this Octavia chick, he'll end up back there soon. Just you wait. So we see in Egypt, Cleopatra gets news that Antony is married again, and she's furious. She's so mad. The messenger that tells her he is married, she literally beats up. So she beats him up, and then she's like, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have beaten you up. I'm a person of, like, royalty. Come back. And he's like, okay. And she's like, why don't you go find out if she's ugly? And he's like, great. And she gets word that Octavia is short and plain looking. And she turns to her handmaid and she's like, oh, good, great. He'll be back soon. I feel much better now and feels great about herself. So the three triumvirs, Antony, Caesar, and Lepidus, all meet Pompey before a battle. And they discuss whether they want to fight or if they want to make a treaty. And Pompey agrees that if he can keep the lands he already has, he'll pay Rome some wheat, take care of some pirates on the seas, and we don't have to have this big fight. And the three of them are like, great, let's go party. There's a lot of partying in this play. And they all are partying on this boat. Lepidus gets extremely drunk, and there are some soldiers talking about how he's, like, the weakest of the three of them, and is often like, oh, Antony, you're so great. Oh, Caesar, you're so great. Because he's clearly, like, the first to go out if somebody goes out. Then Menas, who is Pompey's soldier, comes up to Pompey, he's like, hey, can I just talk to you over here for a second? And he says, hey, what if I murder Anthony, Caesar, and Lepidus? And then you could just have all of this. And Pompey's like, oh, I would have loved for you to do this, but only if you hadn't told me. Because now my honor tells me that I can't let you do that. I can't let you murder these people who are guests in our house, which is like a huge faux pas.
Hashtag grand wedding.
Hashtag Mackers, too.
Real.
The Scottish play. So Anthony and Octavia feeling great about winning against Pompey without even having to fight, end up going to Athens to rule and live. Anthony's forces over in Parthia are doing great without him. Like, his generals are like, wow, we conquered all these lands, and Anthony wasn't involved at all. Then Anthony finds out the gossip in Rome is that Caesar has demoted Lepidus. He's broken the treaty with Pompey. And he's starting to trash talk Anthony in the streets. And so Octavia's like, wait, don't get mad. I'll just go talk to my brother. It'll be great. I'll smooth it over for both of us. And Anthony's like, that sounds great. You should go to Rome and go talk to your brother. And she does. And Anthony's like, I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to go party with Cleopatra and raise an army to defeat Caesar. So he does. And he goes, and she is Cleopatra is so on board with fighting Caesar. She's like, yeah, let's get an army together. It'll be great. I'm actually going to go out with you. I'm going to be on one of the warships. It's going to be great. We're going to fight him at sea, even though Caesar is, like, really good at fighting at sea. Enobarbus is like, do not do this. I am a soldier, and I'm telling you, this is a terrible idea, especially if Cleopatra goes out there with you. And Anthony's like, no, it's going to be great. She's like a war queen. It's cool. And then they go and they have the fight. Cleopatra gets nervous and doesn't think that they're doing very well. And so she flees with her warship. And Anthony, seeing her fleeing, is like, I have to protect her. I need to make sure she's okay. And follows her. And they lose the battle because of it. And Anthony sees it as soon as he gets back. He's like, oh my God, that was such the wrong thing to do. I've been totally demanded. My heart has taken over where my soldier's part used to be and all these things. And Cleopatra's like, yeah, I'm real sorry. You probably shouldn't have followed me. I mean, I didn't make you follow me, but like, oops, sorry for my part in that. So Anthony and Cleopatra are realizing like, well, we're not doing so great. Request from Caesar a peace treaty. If Anthony can just live in Egypt or Athens, he gives them the option. And if Cleopatra can just let the lands of Egypt pass on to her heirs, which she has had with other people.
Including Julius Caesar, right?
I think so. I think one of her children is from Julius Caesar. So a messenger comes back saying, Anthony, your request is not, you will not get it at all.
Like, denied.
Denied. Big red stamp. But he says, Cleopatra, if you give up Anthony, Caesar will give you literally anything you want. And in this scene, she's like, that actually sounds good. And you don't really know if she's playing him or not. It's kind of ambiguous. But Anthony overhears all this and he comes in. He's like, how dare you want to like give me away for all this stuff? And she's like, I would never. How could you think that of me? And he goes, oh, cool, great. Let's fight Caesar. And she's like, yeah, let's. But first, it's my birthday, so let's have a crazy party the night before. And he's like, that sounds great. And Enobarbus, who's been here the whole time and the ups and the downs, is like, I cannot trust Anthony anymore. And he's thought about leaving him before because of all the terrible military decisions he's made since he met Cleopatra. And he's like, I'm finally going to do it. And he ends up deserting to Caesar's army. And then Anthony finds out, and Anthony throughout the play is seen as very benevolent to his soldiers and everyone who's good to him. He sends Enobarbus's treasures and all of his stuff to him and says, like, I get it. And he feels terrible because deserting is a dishonorable thing to do. But he's like, I made this happen because of my decisions. I've turned an honorable man dishonorable. And Enobarbus gets this message and is like, I'm the worst. And he feels terrible and dies of a broken heart.
Doesn't he commit suicide?
It's ambiguous.
Okay.
Because he's just like, I'm going to die. I'm going to kill myself. And then these other soldiers overhear him, and they're like, let's go get him. And they go up to him, and he's dead. So okay. It doesn't really say, like, stabs, takes the poison.
Got it.
It's kind of up to the director. But broken hearts are involved, let's be honest. Anthony challenges Caesar to single combat, a la Jon Snow with Ramsay Bolton. And Caesar, as Ramsay says, nah, bro, let's go with our armies, because mine's clearly bigger. And so they have this big fight on land, and Anthony and Cleopatra's forces totally win, and they're feeling great about it. And then they go to war at sea again and lose. And Anthony starts blaming Cleopatra, and he's like, you betrayed me, that's why we lost, I can't believe this. And Cleopatra's like, whoa! And he's like, I'm gonna kill you. And she's like, I gotta go over here. And then messengers come in, they're like, Cleopatra died, it's crazy. But she didn't actually. She fakes her own death to make him feel bad for, like, saying all these things. And he's so brokenhearted about it, he ends up deciding to kill himself. And his soldier, Eros, comes in. And he says, Eros, stab me. And Eros goes, are you sure, sir? And he's like, yes. And Eros ends up stabbing himself. And he's like, I could never kill you. I will die instead. And then Anthony's like, ah, my soldiers are braver than me. They're general. This is so stupid. And he ends up stabbing himself. But he kills himself badly. So he doesn't die. And his other soldiers come in and he's like, I'm trying to die. And they're like, hey, by the way, Cleopatra's not dead. She faked her own death. And he's like, oh, great. Can you bring me to her? So bleeding, he's brought to Cleopatra, who's at her monument. And she's so upset. She's like, oh, no, what have you done? And he's like, give yourself up to Caesar. Throw yourself at his mercy. He'll be good to you. And dies. And Cleopatra is like, oh, no, I need to kill myself. I'm not going to go with Caesar. He's going to march me through Rome as a trophy, and people are going to throw things at me. I can't do this. Caesar's soldiers end up coming in, and Anthony, before he dies, tells her she can trust this one guy, who immediately betrays her. She starts talking to him and Cleopatra, and then soldiers come in and basically seize her. And Caesar comes in, and he's like, you're gonna come with me, and you'll be treated with respect, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And she's like, uh-huh. And then as soon as he goes away, one of the servants, she's like, what's he really gonna do? And he's like, he's gonna march you through Rome and totally embarrass you. And she's like, okay, I'll wait for him here. And then she sends Charmian off with a task that she whispers in her ear. And she comes back, and the eunuch that has served Cleopatra comes in with a basket of figs, and she's like, thank you for the figs. And he's like, you're welcome, wink, and walks away. And then she reaches into this basket, she kisses Iris, who immediately falls down dead from, we find out, ass poison on Cleopatra's lips. And then she reaches into this basket of figs and pulls out asps and stings her breast and her arm and dies from the poison of the snake, the asp.
Asps. Very dangerous.
And Charmaine, who is still there, the soldiers start coming in and they're like, oh no, Cleopatra's dead. Charmaine's like, catch me, and gets a asp and kills herself as well. And Caesar says, like, this woman should be buried with Anthony, and they end up buried together. And Caesar is now in charge of the Roman Empire. Way to go, Octavius.
History!
So today, we have with us Anthony himself.
Welcome!
Thank you very much for having me on.
So here's my number one question from reading your story in this interpretation, in this context. My number one question is, did you and Cleopatra really love each other? And did you really love each other, like, that much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, when you have two people who are as, like, attractive as us and, like, wealthy and, like, strong. I mean, like, we had so many ships that it's just sort of a thing where, like, yeah, it's absolutely going to be, yeah, it was definitely a lot of attraction. Yeah. When two people are as great as us, you know, it's it only makes sense. Puzzle pieces are made to fit together, so.
Okay.
Nice.
Puzzle pieces are made to fit together.
I like it. I did want to talk about, and I forgot until you were doing the bridge stuff, is Inabarbus seems like a really interesting character.
Yes.
So let's have a chat about him.
I feel like he's so smart, and he's very much the voice of reason in this.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. I feel like he, because we've talked before about how you can kind of do interpretations of plays from mm-hmm. different characters' points of view, and some characters that works and some it doesn't. I feel like you could do a version of this play that is from his point of view, because he's kind of like the audience's way in. He's like the normal guy who sees all these things going down and makes like the smart decision in a way to be like, you know what, I'm gonna not tie myself to Anthony and Cleopatra anymore because they're clearly going down.
Right.
I would completely agree with you on that. Everyone at that time was crazy. The water wasn't great, so everyone was just drinking most of the time. Bob was a chill dude. Yeah. And that's the biggest takeaway, is that he was just a chill dude, just trying to figure out, like, what's, like, the okay thing to do, you know, like, by everybody. Bar. Yeah. Right. That's probably as far as I'd go with it, you know? Like, this is, like, a very decent, chill, good guy from a good family, and was a good friend, you know? And, yeah, I get it, he left. But that's, you know, I would probably do that, too, you know? So.
But you didn't. I mean, you chose to kind of go back to Egypt and back to Cleopatra. So you really...
Oh, no, I'm really saying if I was him.
If you were... I know, but I'm saying... You made some interesting decisions. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I make interesting decisions all the time. That's a... really, that's...
how you live your life.
Basis. Exactly. You don't get to being one of the three guys in charge of what I would call the world. Right. Yeah. If you aren't making interesting decisions.
Mm.
Like, you know, you could sew sandals or you could run the world. You know, you got those choices. I decided to go with the latter. So, yeah, I made several interesting decisions. Not do I regret a lot of them. Maybe most of them that we've covered so far. Yeah, I think there are a lot of bad decisions. But that's, I was young. It's in the heat of youth and the heat of love, you know?
Mm.
And it's just, look, there was a girl, okay? There was a girl, she looked far away. She was good looking. She was in infinite attractiveness.
Yeah, like, that's something that's mentioned by not just Anthony, but literally everyone in the play. Even Octavia is clearly like, I don't know if I should marry this guy because he's with this really hot person. And I don't know if he'll be, like, with...
What's that movie that starts out, like, this story, like any good story... is about a girl.
500 Days of Summer.
Is it? Summer. Okay, great.
But this is not a love story?
I'm not sure. I just remember having that line.
You're right. You're right.
Great. On point. Gold stars all around.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that Cleopatra was sort of the Zooey Deschanel of the time. It's a fair assessment.
I would pay a lot of money to see Zooey Deschanel play Cleopatra. That would be an incredible experience.
I feel like Beyonce would play a great Cleopatra.
Oh, I would pay a million. No, like, Zooey Deschanel doing it would be almost like the version that we were talking about before. Like, if it was, like, a Janis and a bro, and like, whatever. It'd be a really interesting interpretation.
Yeah.
But I would pay millions of dollars to see Beyonce do it.
This is, like, an actual representation of...
Yes.
A queen. Yeah.
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 No one commands a room like Beyonce. No one commands a room like Cleopatra.
Oof, real.
Truth.
Well, I was gonna say that despite it being a long play, it is a little more straightforward than some of the other histories. There's a little less, like, wheeling and dealing in terms of, like, the politics of it. It is kind of a straightforward, hey, we're gonna have a battle, and, oh, we won the battle, so...
Yeah. There's something I really like about that. There's no, like, Iago sort of, like, behind it. Like, there's, like, one behind-the-scenes scene, and then it's just like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna kill these guys.
But with Manos, right?
Let's just keep it straightforward.
Yeah.
I like that.
What you see is what you get.
Exactly.
Yeah, they cut right to the action.
Exactly. That's what it is. If there's a ship fight, some ships win, some ships lose. There's no, like, oh, well, there's actually, this represents, or this branches, or a moving forest. None of that. No. It's just, I had to go to Rome, I came back to Egypt, and some guys wanted me back, and then, you know, so just, I wanted to stay on vacation.
How did you feel about marrying Octavia?
I just, you know, sometimes a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. You know, she is all right. She's fine.
Well, before we met you this morning, Beverly and I were talking last night about how we would kind of interpret the text or what would make an interesting production.
Okay.
Because I did say, you know, my number one question in all of this, since it is fairly straightforward in terms of the alliances and the politics and the battles of it, is simply, do Anthony and Cleopatra really love each other? And if they do, how much?
Yeah.
And I said, clearly, the most interesting choice is that they do love each other. That gives you more dramatic conflict than if they're just like, hey, yeah, like, you're pretty cool, and we'll just, like, take over the world together.
Yeah.
Hashtag YOLO.
Which is true, yeah.
Right. But then Beverly made a really interesting point, which was that it would also be a great dramatic choice to see an interpretation where you really love Cleopatra, but she is just using you.
Yeah, I think the best choice is kind of the feeling you get from Sally Bowles in Cabaret, to use a very weird reference
okay.
in context of this, but where she's just like, I'm just here to be a star. And
right.
that's like Cleopatra's main thing.
Right.
And Anthony helps her do that all the time,
mm.
but only in so much as you can do that, because when Caesar's like, yo, you can have whatever you like, girl, if you give up this guy, she's like, yeah, I might do that. And I think it's better if you play that scene that she was really going to do that until he comes in, finds her doing that, and is like, how could you do this? And she's like, baby, 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 please don't. It's not like that.
I was going to say, but then she killed herself, but I guess she killed herself at the end to avoid the embarrassment
exactly.
of it, not because...
To be led through Rome.
Mm.
I can see that, because I had so little to politically gain. By being in Egypt.
Yeah.
I was just
it
there.
It messed up your politics.
Yeah,
over
absolutely.
Over and over again.
I had to get married again. Like, I just had a wife, and then all this business happened, and then suddenly I have another wife, and I have to marry into this family. I can't even get started on how many issues that family has. You saw the prequel, right?
Yeah.
We read the prequel. Yeah. Yeah,
the prequel being Julius Caesar, for those listening at home.
Yeah. Yes. It's a lot of mess, a lot of bad blood in that family. I just wanted to be in Egypt. Better weather, better food.
Food's good.
Food is great.
Those figs, man.
Those figs are fantastic.
Figs and salty meat.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet salt.
Some honey.
Yeah, bruh. Speaking of Julius Caesar, this is a very different Anthony than we see in Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, he is smart, he has his eye on the prize, and he is really building up who he is.
Mm.
And in this one, he starts as one of the three kings of the world, basically, and really falls from that.
Has anyone ever done back-to-back productions of these with the same person playing Anthony, like in rep?
I'm sure.
Because that would be interesting to watch.
But oftentimes, I think he's usually cast as a different person. They might be doing it back to back, but it's like a different actor playing him.
I would want it to be the same.
I say tell the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be so much more interesting to watch, especially if you could do like a matinee of Julius Caesar and then an evening performance of Anthony and Cleopatra with the same actor.
And Octavius is the same character too.
Yeah, I mean, everybody the same. And then, I mean, it would almost be watching like all six Star Wars movies back to back. Like, you'd really get the full story.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I would compare Caesar to Vader. I would compare Caesar to Vader.
I can see that. He does kind of want to rule the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fair. Anna Barbus is kind of Obi-Wan
Kenobi. Yeah, sure.
Right? In a way?
Yeah.
In a way?
Like an Obi-Wan Chewie combination. Yeah.
Would Anthony be Han Solo? Would you be Han Solo?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, dashing. Travel. Are you kidding me?
That's not my point. I feel like Han Solo doesn't want to take over the galaxy, and you kind of do want to take over the galaxy. That's my point.
True.
I'm not saying that you're not as dashing and handsome as Han Solo, but...
Thank you.
Your ambition, I think, doesn't match Han Solo. He kind of just wants to make his money and fly around in his Millennium Falcon and have a great day.
True.
You are more like Han Solo merged with Leia. Like, a little bit of that ambition. Like, I know what I'm doing, and I'm gonna be in charge of this situation.
Hmm.
Thanks so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Carrie Fisher, Cleopatra would be interesting.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch that hardcore.
That'd be dope.
Here's the thing that, I don't know, not many people talk about or bring up or think about, but I received the news of my wife passing at the beginning,
right,
from a messenger, which means a messenger knew before I did,
right?
Imagine that
for weeks,
like
probably.
A long time, and I'm finding out at the very end.
It's like the signals of Gondor is how I feel.
Right. Yeah,
like the fire lights up and then 20 miles across the mountains, the next one.
Exactly. Mm. It's weird. It was a weird thing. It was a weird time.
I love Charmaine and Iris. Every time they're in a scene together, I'm like, this is gonna be good.
The first scene that has that's like Cleopatra and her lady sitting around talking, I just see a director going, okay, now everybody sit down, be brushing each other's hair, be doing your nail polish. It's like such a girls' night out vibe. And just the way that they're talking and relating to each other, they really do have great chemistry.
That goes into my argument that Cleopatra should be not in love with Anthony as the best choice, because I feel like when she's with them, that's where she's at her most sincere and most at ease. And she really is just like, what if we do this? Wouldn't that be fun, girls? And they're like, oh, Cleo, you're so good. She really has fun with them. Whereas with Anthony, it's very, like, formal and, like, oh, like soap opera-y. They're, like, holding each other's faces every time they speak.
I wonder if then she feels like the true love of her life was Julius Caesar, and she's just trying to get back to that power.
Ooh. Ooh, that's pretty good. Interesting.
Sorry about that.
So you're the rebound, maybe.
Sorry about that, bro.
Just another hot Roman stud coming up from the battlefront.
I would say I was the ultimate and the last. So read that as you will.
All right.
Came before, but the train stopped at this station. All right.
Are there any modern day adaptations of this then?
There is a really famous one with Elizabeth Taylor as the.
But that's not modern. That's not a modern day adaptation.
True.
That's just like the movie.
So there's not a lot of modern day adaptations of Anthony and Cleopatra. It's oftentimes just done in the period it was supposed to be.
It is a history, so it's a little harder to bring forward.
I'm always cool with post-apocalyptic history, though.
Our technical aspect that we're going to talk about today, we're going to kind of reiterate verse versus prose and the difference between those. Because I was really proud of myself when I was reading this on my own, and I was noticing, like, Anthony and Cleopatra scenes are pretty much all in verse. And then when you go down and you're just talking to the soldiers, they're conversation and all their dialogue is in prose. So it really stood out to me the difference between like the high class people and the low class people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. I never thought. But that's how
it was.
That's how it was. I didn't really talk to people below my class too much, so I would imagine that they would not talk like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So to review, verse is anything with a meter. It's technically defined as poetry, but really it just means it has a meter, and in Shakespeare that happens to be iambic pentameter. What that means is there's always like 5 feet with a buttum, 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 buttum. And it's kind of like a heartbeat, which is why lots of Shakespeare actors love to speak Shakespeare and find it easier than speaking real people lines.
AKA
prose. Oh, segue.
I feel like prose and verse sound like they mean the same thing to me, which is why I get confused by it.
Oh, interesting. So yeah, prose is anything without a meter, without a beat. It can just be written however you want. It's your 5-paragraph essay. It's whatever you want. Often in this play, it's very interesting because I noticed a lot while I was reading that it would switch between. We see a lot of verse, but also certain points of prose. And oftentimes it is like the lower class people are speaking prose and the higher class people are speaking verse. But I think even in the beginning, the first time we see Anthony and Cleopatra, they're like getting out of their party. And this is right before the messenger comes in to like bring all this real stuff to Anthony's attention. Be like, your wife's dead. She started a war and Caesar's mad at you. They're just talking and chatting in prose. And they're hanging out all together. And then once this bomb drops that this messenger says, Anthony and Cleopatra realize that they probably shouldn't be together and end up starting to talk in verse. Because Anthony is like, I love you so much. Don't take this the wrong way, but I probably should go back and help these people.
They're getting more formal with each other.
Yeah. But I think also part of it is, if you imagine this play like a soap opera, because we were talking about how straightforward it is, and it always blows my mind how much war is in here, but how little it's talked about.
Right.
It's very much like the tail end of each battle, like we were saying, so that you can get back to Anthony and Cleopatra's relationship as quick as possible.
Right.
It's like a good improv scene. They're like, forget the transaction, go to the relationship. And so every time this play becomes a soap opera again, boom, we're in verse.
Mm.
So a lot of the soldiers and stuff are talking in prose, and the clown that comes in at a very dark moment in the end, a clown that helps Cleopatra kill herself, first of all, jokes about how the snakes are penises, basically, for a paragraph or two in prose. Meanwhile, Cleopatra is totally in verse. But in the end, pretty much besides the clown, even the soldiers are speaking in verse because everything is so heightened. So every time this play becomes a soap opera, that's the other time.
So, Anthony, you want to read a scene with me?
I would love to.
Oh, great. Thanks. I'll try to not absorb your accent.
It's a normal accent for me. This is how Romans talk.
So, Act 3, Scene 13, this is where Cleopatra has just heard from the messenger that if she turns Anthony in, she can have whatever she wants from Caesar. And she's like, yeah, I'll do that. Anthony comes in and goes, how could you betray me like this? I can't believe you would turn me in. And then they have this scene. Cool.
Hence will thy stripes be gone.
Have you done yet?
Alack, our terrene moon is now eclipsed. And it portends alone the fall of Anthony.
You must stay his time.
To flatter Caesar, would you mingle eyes with one that ties his points?
Not know me yet?
Cold-hearted towards me.
Oh, dear, if I be so, for my cold heart let heaven engender hail, and poison it in the source, and the first stone drop in my neck. As it determines, so dissolve my life, the next Caesarian smite, till by degrees the memory of my womb, together with my brave Egyptians all, by the discanding of this pelted storm lie graveless till the flies and gnats of Nile have buried them for prey.
I am satisfied. Caesar sits down in Alexandria, where I will oppose his fate. Our force by land hath nobly held. A severed navy hath knit again and fleet threatening most sea-like. Where hast thou been, my heart? Dost thou hear, lady, if from the field I shall return once more to kiss these lips, I will appear in blood, and I and my sword will earn our chronicle. There's hope in it yet.
That's my brave lord.
I will be feeble-sinewed, hearted, brave, and fight maliciously. For when mine hours were nice and lucky, men did ransom lives of me for jests. But now I'll set my teeth and send to darkness all that stop me. Come, let's have one other gaudy night. Call to me all my sad captains, fill our bowls once more. Let's mock the midnight bell.
It is my birthday. I had thought to have held it poor, but since my lord is Anthony again, I will be Cleopatra.
We will yet do well.
Call all his noble captains to my lord.
Do so, we'll speak to them, and tonight I'll force the wine peep through their scars. Come, my queen, it's happening yet. The next time I do fight, I'll make death love me, for I will contend even with the pestilent scythe.
Scene.
My favorite in that is, she's like, no, no, baby, baby, I won't kill you. And he's like, I'm satisfied. Good job, Anthony.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Very much appreciated.
I'm Beverly.
I'm Allison.
Deuces, peasants!
Actually, in terms of, like, things being different when it has to be really heightened or like convey certain information is Mulder and Scully are always referring to each other by their last names, but when shit gets real and it's going down and they have to tell each other like this is not a good situation, they'll call each other by their first names.
Dana. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's Mulder's first name?
Fox.
No, it's not.
Yep,
it is.
I mean, I don't disagree, but
I like that that's your problem with the show. It's a show where there's a government branch of two people that are investigating.
Two people.
It was one, and now it's two. Alien abductions, like, big people.
And my problem is, his name is Fox. It's like, come on.
There's an episode about see-through people because they adapted to the forest, and you're just like, his name's not Fox. What's that short for? That's called out the big glaring issue with that show.